right, all right, all right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network, baby. Here we are on a Monday, which is, boy, Mondays just suck sometimes, don't they? But no, here, look at it this way. Because I sometimes wake up and can't wait to get the work week started. And I know you say, Kevin, what kind of drugs are you on? No drugs anymore. I just, you know, the day is what you make of it, right? And I learned this a long time ago, and it's not always easy to remember. I mean, some days are better than others, right? And I just know that so many times I get this opportunity to take off for the workday, and it's raining, or my back's hurting, or I'm having some financial crisis, something worrying me, you know, or something even personal with my mom or something. And it's just, I just let it go, you know, and I think that I can sit around and feel sorry for myself, or I can get out there and you call it karma, call it God, call it Christianity, call it God helping those who help themselves. I firmly believe that if you get up each morning and do the best you possibly can, whether you feel like it or not, whether that's going to work, whether that's helping someone out that you said you would and you don't really feel like it, or some other obligation, just doing what you're supposed to do in life, do what is expected of you, good things come to you, man. You call it karma, like I said, call it God helps those who help themselves. That's what I call it. I call it a little of both, because you put good in, you get good out. And so many times, it just seems like over the last year, especially since I've really been living by this code and creed, is that, you know, there's some Monday mornings I don't want to get up. There's some Wednesday mornings I don't want to get up and go to work. But you're putting in the work, and at the end of the day, you feel tired or wore out, but you feel that little bit of pride, and you feel that, you know, you get you a shower, and you move on with your day, and you spend time with your family of an evening, which is what I do, and somehow God provides, or karma provides, or whatever you believe in provides, something in the universe provides for you. But if you do the right thing, 99% of the time, it's going to be all right. I once read a book that is called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. And it's a very simple sounding book, but it's very true. We spend more time in our lives worrying about things that will never happen. Now, some things happen, and some things we sure as a hell need to worry about. But if you look at it and you're honest with yourself, and I tell my girlfriend this all the time, because being a female, I think she overthinks, as a lot of females do. I think men are better at just compartmentalizing things, right? And we'll deal with it when we need to, but we got to focus on the bigger prize. Well, my girlfriend overthinks everything sometimes, sometimes to a fault. And I mean, I just got to tell her, quit worrying about something that may not happen, man, you know? And I think she's starting to come around to it, because, again, we sit around and we worry about things that probably aren't even going to happen. We worry about all these things that it's probably just not going to be there. Now, sometimes it is, but I didn't mean to get off too deep of a subject here to start Monday morning. We were just saying that, hey, Mondays sometimes suck. We all complain about it, back to work. That means something to some people because they have the weekends off. Like me, I mean, I have my weekends off from my real job. But I go back to work Monday morning, and it's okay. And again, the day is what you make of it. And I also realized a couple years ago that no one else is going to do it for you, man. No one else is going to come and get you out of bed and take your shower for you, fix you a hot cup of coffee, and write your bills out and give you a ride to work. Nobody's going to do that. But if you get up and do it, and I know every single one of you know what I'm talking about, and most of you work all the time and have. But if you're listening out there and you're between jobs or you're a little depressed, trust me, get up, do the right thing, put one foot in front of the other, and it will work out. And I'm not always talking financially. I found that to be the case, but that's a simple math. You get up, you go to work, you get a check. And sometimes it's just enough to get you to the next check. And a lot of us live check to check, and that kind of sucks. But the good Lord gives you what you need. And I used to think it was a bunch of hooey when I would hear a Christian say, oh, the Lord wouldn't give you anything more than you can't handle. Well, I don't know about all that. But you know what? I've survived every single one of my worst days in my life. I can sit back and think of 5 days that's probably in my top five worst days in Kevin Keith's adult life. And you know what? At the end of the day, I survived it. And if you're smart, if you're open-minded about it, you could actually learn something from some of those things. So keep that in mind, too. If you're a little depressed or down on this this Monday morning, you have survived 100% of the worst day of your life. Think back on the one or two or three worst days of your life. And it may not have been easy, but you survived. And you lived another day. And the day is what you make of it, friends. And I know it's easy to sit here and say that. And I don't always live that way. I do for the most part, but it's not easy for me to do it every day, day in, day out. I've just always been positive. And I know I consider that a true blessing that's just embedded in my being. So anyway, happy Monday to you. Tomorrow's Tuesday. The next day's Wednesday. We're almost to the weekend, and we could get into Thursday, which is Kevin's favorite day of the week, as I've described before. But thank you for being here. I appreciate you dialing us in here at the KNS Radio Network. Want to thank our community-minded sponsors, and we love every single one of them. Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis of Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction in Frankfort, Probite Computers, good morning, Charlie, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana in Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. Good morning, Alan. Appreciate you jumping on board with us. These community-minded sponsors are people that I have sat down face-to-face with and have talked to and talked into coming and supporting and helping pay for the services that bring you the KNS Radio Network. This just isn't me sitting here with a laptop and a microphone. There are costs that I have every month, and they come out the first of the month. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting ready to be broke right now. I've got about $400 or $500 in the KNS bank account, but it's getting ready to all be gone here in a couple days because all of my KNS bills come out at the beginning of the month. And I did set it up that way. But I've got about $400, $450, $475 a month that I've got to cover to bring you what you hear on KNS. And that's kind of the bare minimum, friends. That pays for the automation system that keeps things rolling through the day so I can step away. It starts the next song. It's a very smart program. It does exactly what I tell it to do. And so when I'm done with the morning show, I go to my regular job, and this program starts the next song, and then the weather, and then the sweeper, and then the next song, and the commercial breaks, and the next song, and the next song, and the next song, and it keeps track of the top of the hour, so we stay on track with our legal ID that we run at the top of the hour. So, yeah, it's a slick program, and it cost me about $65 a month, not going to lie. We also, like terrestrial radio stations, we can't just play this music for free. I have to pay royalties to the artists of the music we play. So yes, KNS is paying Billy Joel and Elton John, whoever owns the library, and the Beatles, and you know, we pay them so much a month. Now, do I write out a check each month to Elton John? No. But there's a service that provides that for us, and I write out a check each month to them, if you get what I'm saying. So $450 brings you the minimum of what you hear daily, 24/7, 365 here at KNS. Once I get some more sponsors, I've got some other goodies that I can purchase that's going to bring KNS into what I call second gear. I'm waiting to shift into second gear. I want to get maybe two or three more sponsors. And when we do, friends, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Plus, I don't want to like shoot myself in the foot. But I'm here to tell you, I'm so excited about what the next step of KNS looks like, because it's things that I can do with a little more money that affects us directly right here on a local Clinton County, Frankfort level. And it's not more bells and whistles. It's not anything like that. It's not automation software. We're talking boots on the ground, local reporting and things like that, and stuff that affects us on a daily basis, and freeing up some of my time too, frankly, to be able to go cover some of that for you. So when I mention these community-minded sponsors, I really can't kiss them enough. I can't lick the paper here that has the sponsors enough, because I just love them so much, and it means so much from the bottom of my heart for them to believe in me and believe in what I'm doing here at KNS and want to be a part of it. So these individuals are either sponsoring with money or trades or both, so we can have things to give away as well. And so I want to read them again and just thank them again. And if you get a chance, please keep these guys top of mind when you need their services, okay? Marchand's Window Tinting, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, ProBuy Computers, Gem City Junction Frankfort, Granny's Goodies Mulberry, Wampler Services Incorporated, The Oasis Frankfort, and Heather's Flowers. Now, I wanted to do something a little different on today's show, because it's going to be one of the few days that I don't have an interview scheduled. As I've told you, over the next couple months, I'm going to be bringing you interviews with every politician who will talk to me. And I'm going to try to hit everyone who is a contended race first. I could do other things and just kind of go down the line. But, for instance, we've got, for county commissioner in Clinton County, there's District 2 and District 1. And if there was a Democrat running against these two individuals, one or the other, we would have a contested race. But instead, for Clinton County Commissioner District 2, Kevin Myers, the Republican who beat Josh Hewitts back in the primary, the incumbent, Kevin is going to win District 2, because there's no contenders. Same way with Burt Weaver for Clinton County Commissioner District 1. So those two individuals, I still want to reach out and talk to. I know at least one will talk to me, and I'm going to try to get both of them. Also for coroner, there's nobody challenging Ed Kripe, who has been the coroner for a while. He's also a Republican. Most of these individuals are Republicans. And there's going to be a couple that will be contested. So I want to talk to the contested races first. And I've got a complete list of the ballots here. And we're talking about even talking to school board members as well. I want to take this time. Let me pull up this email here real quick, because I really appreciate this individual. Oh, crap. I just closed out of something I didn't want to. I hope I remember my password. This individual who works in the clerk's office. Last week, I'd reached out to Stephanie Harshberger, the Clinton County clerk, to get a list of the ballots, what the ballot's going to look like for us on November 5th. And Stephanie was out of the office for a week or so. And Kim Jacoby is the voter registration deputy at the Clinton County clerk's office. And Kim saw my email, and without waiting until Stephanie got back, she went ahead and sent me a copy of these ballots. And so I've got these, and I appreciate that, Kim. If you know and see Kim Jacoby, thank her for me if she happens to not be listening, okay? On today's program, I wanted to talk about a couple local things, and then I wanted to talk about something that's kind of regional, and then I wanted to, if I can, I want to talk about something that it's national, and it's probably going to happen tonight, and you probably heard about it a little bit on the news, but it's the port strike by the longshoremen workers on the East and Gulf Coasts. I've got an inside track with a friend of mine who works in radio in New Jersey, and he wrote an article for a local newspaper, and I've got a copy of that. And so I wanted to share that with you because this is going to be a big damn deal if they can't reach an agreement by about midnight tonight, I think, is when we can expect that strike. And you say, Kevin, how's that going to affect me? Well, friends, it's going to, and I'm going to share a little bit of what I know based on the story that my friend wrote. So we got a couple local things. We've got a regional thing, and then we're going to talk about the longshoremen striking tonight. Later this week, I've got a special piece that I prepared for you. I'm going to take a detailed look at all three candidates for governor for the state of Indiana, their property tax plans. And I'll be honest with you, none of them are good. A couple of them sound okay on the surface, but we should have better, and we should deserve better. And I'll say that as a Republican, the Mike Braun plan doesn't look real great. The Jennifer McCormick plan does not look great. It looks a little better, but not real great. And Donald Rainwater, the Libertarian, his plan I love, but long-term it's not real great either. So we've got to look at these things long-term, and I've been putting together this special piece. I'll probably type it up and actually post it to the KNS website so you can follow along after the fact. Also, a quick reminder that we always, after we air these programs here, the news and commentary or any of our interviews, I post them later that day at knsradionetwork.com/interviews so you can listen on demand. And there's another one that I post as well. Obviously, all of my interviews and all of my news and commentary, that is there on the interviews page. But if you're familiar with our podcast to broadcast on Saturday morning, we have Coach Perry Hunter with Cornerstone Hoops. We have the two ladies from Lafayette, Listen Lafayette, with Justina and Taryn. And they're talking about recovery and some other things going on in Lafayette. And they nail it every week. But they have a Spotify channel. They have a YouTube channel. They're doing things in video. So they're covering the content that you hear on KNS in other ways. And Coach Hunter wanted his to be a podcast only, and that's cool. Coach Hunter is also my second cousin and a heck of a great guy. If you listen, you know what I'm talking about. But Bud Wiry with The Shop every Saturday at 10 a.m. This guy is doing a lot of good when it comes to finding out information for you, the listener, the voter, the wannabe educated public. And I felt compelled to share The Shop every Saturday later in the day after it airs on KNS Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. Every week he's got a new one, and it's very timely and topical to what's going on in Lebanon and Boone County. And when Bud gets a tiger by the tail, man, he doesn't let go of it. So sometimes some of his stuff will continue from one program to the next, or you may recognize something from a program or two in the past. He's been with us a couple weeks or a couple months now. And I just wanted to tell you that, just remind you, if you've not been to the interview page lately, and you go there to listen to the Clinton County stuff I post, it is worth listening to The Shop with Bud Wiry, because this guy's got a natural talent of just keeping your attention, keeping the program going, and talking about some things that really, really, really impact and affect Boone County and Lebanon residents. So this past Saturday, he asked the question of, where are the Lebanon City Council values? He talked about Mayor Matt Gentry showing his colors. he had a little bit of a radio feud with another radio personality from Radio Mom. So it was KNS against Radio Mom in a sense. He's also emailing and asking questions of the state police and county officials about intersection updates and a lot. So he puts a lot out there. And there's a lot of people listening Saturday morning at 10, but if you can't catch it, make sure you always check it out on knsradionetwork.com/interviews. If you want to, you can look him up on Facebook too. It's Bud Wiry. He has a couple Facebook groups that he runs. One is called The Shop. One is called Boone County Cockroaches. And I'll probably have Bud on here sometime over the next week or two as we get closer to the election and get some of his takes on this. But I just wanted to remind you that you can also catch The Shop on the interviews page. And sometime soon, I'll probably give Bud his own page on knsradionetwork.com just because he deserves it. He's doing so much good to bring information and news like I do that you won't hear anywhere else. Other media outlets afraid to talk about it, afraid to step on toes or get out there and ask some real tough questions. And Bud is like me in that sense. And when he sees something, he's going to say something, and he wants an answer. And he will call you out on it, and hopefully get something resolved, right? Because this is what it's about, is some kind of recourse or resolution. We're not looking to just bitch. We're not bitching to bitch. We want some recourse. We want the stuff fixed, right? Okay, so anyway, don't forget that. On a local level, I saw this over the weekend with one of our fine community-minded partners, the Oasis of Frankfort. Daniel Perkins, become a good friend of mine. Now, here's the thing. We have commercials that you hear from our sponsors that run several times a day on the radio. We don't, sometimes we'll update those, but we don't update them every day. And occasionally these businesses that sponsor have a daily promotion or a weekly promotion or something like that, where they have something that they post on Facebook that I may not have had a chance to put into a commercial or something, if you see what I'm saying. It's maybe a limited time only. And I ran into this, so I wanted to tell you about something that Daniel's got cooking literally at the Oasis. He's introducing the Harvest Moon Magic just in time for fall. It's a seasonal dessert bliss made from oven-warmed slice of cheesecake, pumpkin roll, topped with premium Glover's cake batter or vanilla ice cream, drizzled caramel, and cinnamon sugar sprinkled with whipped cream. Now, I know it sounds delicious, but you ought to see the picture of it. Go to the Oasis and make sure you like the Oasis Frankfort's Facebook page, because I can't show you a picture here. I shared it on the KNS page, but holy cow. So Daniel's kind of branching out a little bit and try to incorporate the newly rejuvenated Glover's ice cream into a fall Harvest Moon Magic piece of seasonal dessert bliss, which is a mouthful. Again, it's a oven-warm slice of cheesecake, pumpkin roll, topped with premium Glover's cake batter or vanilla ice cream, drizzled caramel, cinnamon sugar, sprinkled whipped cream. So it's called the Harvest Moon Magic. The Harvest Moon Magic. So when you go to the Oasis Frankfort here in the next couple weeks, tell them Kevin wants you to fix them a Harvest Moon Magic. Now, I don't know how much it is, but I know you certainly get your money's worth, and I'll probably have to get out there and try one myself over the next week or two. So I may have to take a friend, though, man, because this thing looked monstrous. And that's a lot of sweets, but I think I'm up for the challenge. So it's called the Harvest Moon Magic. Go ask for one at the Oasis Frankfort, all right? Also, I saw over the weekend, this made me so happy, that this was in one of the Frankfort yard sale groups, but it was all over because she posts in several groups. Mary Lynn Peter, the organizer for the Frankfort market that we've had over the last couple of years. Well, she's the organizer for the Christmas Tree Lighting Festival, and we've been doing this for the last couple of years. It's going to be held at Prairie Creek Park. It'll be the first Saturday of December, right after the parade. She's currently looking for items for the auction to raise money for the festival. Now, any new items, antiques, collectibles, anything will do. It's not a city-funded event, so she doesn't get money for this, and she doesn't get paid to do it either. She takes no money for this. So everything goes right back into the Frankfort market, whether it's promotional or renting out a space to continue to hold these over the winter months. She said last year the auction was a success, was able to do all kinds of things to bring fun and enjoyment for everyone. And if you have some things that you might want to donate, please contact her. You can message her. She does respond quickly. She says thank you very much. And I'm going to get her on again here on KNS because Mary Lynn and I are good friends and we go way back. And she's always willing to talk to me. So we're going to get her on over the next week or two here, and we'll talk about how you can help and how she's going to try to raise some money for the Christmas Tree Lighting Festival. We light up the big Christmas tree right here on the downtown Frankfort Square. So keep that in mind. And if there's a way that you think you can help, go ahead and reach out to Mary Lynn, because she's so creative and she can figure things out pretty quick. If you've got a little idea and you're not sure how to pull it off, she's got the rest of the idea. Same with me. You can reach out to me. I'll get you in touch with Mary Lynn. Or if there's something you need to drop off, you could drop it off with me, or I'll come pick it up and I'll get it to Mary Lynn. Okay. So I want to be able to help out with KNS and Mary Lynn, what she's doing again for the Christmas Tree Lighting Festival, which will be coming up before too long, because we're already into October. I mean, that's hard to believe. So again, that's the Tree Lighting Festival, the first Saturday of December. Now, I had a friend who shared something, Gary. I'll just call him Gary. He lives in Frankfort. A lot of you probably know him. We're friends on Facebook. He had a good point. He says he knows that most groceries are not taxed, but some are. So the ones that are taxed, you eventually eat them, right? Then you pass them, you know, pass through your body, and you're taxed again through your wastewater bill. So his question was, does this make you the middleman? Okay, I mean, I thought it was pretty funny myself. But you also, you kind of get taxed twice there, don't you? So I thought I'd share that with you for a funny ha-ha. But something with a little more serious note, I saw this over the weekend, and at first I was excited about it because I love celebrations, and I've grown to love and like Lafayette and West Lafayette and all the history that comes with the Indians through the years, and how that whole area was shaped, and it's just a beautiful part of the state. I lived in West Lafayette for a couple years, and I know Lafayette has kind of turned into a lot of crime, frankly, in a less desirable area than it has been in years past. I trust that city officials are trying to do that, but to squash that. But it seems like Lafayette is kind of outgrowing itself. It's got the crime and the drugs, but it doesn't have the population that you normally see associated with that. Now, it's growing a little bit, and West Lafayette doesn't count because it has Purdue, and you pull in 30, 60,000 college students, and it kind of skews the numbers a little bit. And West Lafayette's always been quite a bit more safe than Lafayette. But the city of Lafayette is actually spending $500,000 on its bicentennial sculpture that they're going to have in September of 2025, about a year from now. So it got me thinking, there is a tremendous, I know this, and I don't even live in Lafayette. This is just from reading a little bit here and there online and watching some WLFI every now and then. West Lafayette, or Lafayette rather, has a tremendous homeless problem, especially in the north part of the city. I mean, they're like laying on top of each other. And I know there's a lot of great groups out there who sincerely try to help. And I don't know what the answer is, but the city council and the economic development group is getting ready to spend $500,000 on a sculpture. And we've got this unbelievable homeless problem. Now, every homeless problem is a problem. But when I say unbelievable, friends, I mean an exorbitant amount for a city the size of Lafayette. Lafayette is what I consider like a medium to small market. If you're talking about media or per capita income, but it's almost like it's outgrowing itself. It has a homeless problem that you would normally see in like an Indianapolis or a Fort Wayne or a South Bend or a Jeffersonville. It's not the richest city in the state either. But somehow they found $500,000 to purchase a bicentennial sculpture to put in Lafayette that's going to be at 9th and South Streets, which also is not a real desirable area. Now, it's become a little more desirable over the past couple of years, but follow me for a moment. Lafayette city officials have always wanted to put something, some kind of artwork there on the corner of 9th and South. And I think most of you know where I'm talking about. And they're saying now that they have the perfect reason to do so because they're celebrating their bicentennial 200 years in September of 2025. That's next year. Now, I saw a little story from WLFI, and I got a couple quotes here, or part of a paragraph. The city is hiring a California-based sculptor to build a piece of art. They've got a few, you may have seen a picture of it over the weekend if you watch WLFI or get their feeds on Facebook. It's kind of cool looking, I guess. It's hard to explain. It almost looks like a ribbon, but it doesn't look like $500,000 worth of stuff. Plus, why in the hell are we hiring a California-based sculptor to build the piece of art in Lafayette? I just can't believe that the Redevelopment Commission and the City Council and the Economic Development Group, that they're all on board with this. I can't believe that there's not more people up in arms saying, let's spend $500,000 on helping the homeless or getting some more police, or we're not having so many shootings over stupid drug deals that could be avoided in Lafayette. This happens daily. And so everything's more expensive in California anyway. So we're bringing in this sculptor. I just don't understand. So it's going to cost $500,000 and then an additional $50,000 to renovate the rest of the corner. Now, I could renovate a corner pretty damn nice for $50,000. Again, I don't know how big they're talking, but this is at the corner of 9th and South. There's only so much space there, especially if you have a $500,000 sculpture that's celebrating 200 years, the bicentennial. That's great. That is fantastic. I'm excited. I love history. You guys know this. But this is absurd. So they say that they don't know the exact dimensions of the sculpture, but it's going to be big enough for people to walk under like the archway part of it. They think that adding this piece of public art is going to help activate that space and make it more special than it already is, according to John Collier, the assistant director for economic development, darling. So the project was approved by the Redevelopment Commission, and the sculptor is going to start working on the piece immediately. So Collier says the goal is to have the artwork completed by the 2025 bicentennial celebration. Now, the sculptor, I guess, is coming in from California, and we're going to put it like maybe part of the $500,000 is like putting him up at the Hotel Swanson or whatever out by the interstate. You know, I don't know if we get an annual deal or not. The City Council or Redevelopment Commission was able to get a weekly rate for this guy coming from California, but I guarantee you he's not going to stay at the Knights Inn. So they're probably putting him up at a pretty nice bed and breakfast, and I want to know how much that costs, because I find it hard to believe that $500,000 is going to be in one sculpture that's big enough for people to walk under the archway. So this is going to be a continuing story. Again, I can't believe people are not up in freaking arms over this, especially with all the problems that Lafayette has. Lafayette is right there on the precipice where if they did they have enough good people in place where if they did a couple things to really help with quality of life and economic development, they could push themselves into really being a beautiful community for years to come. But they're on the precipice right now, and spending $500,000 on a sculpture for a bicentennial 200th birthday, I think is absurd. And I sure wouldn't let that happen if I was the mayor. I just, again, don't see where this is worth it. What I also think is by spending $500,000 on a sculpture for the 200th birthday, it's gonna push us on the wrong side of the precipice. Lafayette is going to look back and continue to have drugs and shootings and all kinds of terrible things happening in this relatively small community that people still think of it as a community. They don't think of it as a metropolitan area, especially the older demographic. And you're going to look back and think, you know, would we rather have, I don't know, 10 more policemen? Or would we rather have a $200,000 sculpture at the corner of 9th and South there? I think I know the answer, but I was just really surprised to see that over the weekend and see that WLFI did not talk to anybody who was against it. So I'm rarely in Lafayette, but the next time I am, I might drive past South and 9th and see if the sculptor's out there working and stop by and see if he'll give me an interview. Maybe we could find out some detailed information, but I'm just saying I could do it for a lot cheaper. I would go down to Wampler Services to start with and get some scrap metal and sculpt you something beautiful and then spray paint it all one color or a couple different colors, and I could do it for, I don't know, probably 50 grand. Again, this is the KNS Radio Network. I'm Kevin Keith. This is news and commentary on a Monday. Again, just kind of had some various thoughts and rapid-fire ideas I wanted to run past you this morning because so much builds up over the weekend that I have so many ideas and story topics and things. I just kind of cram it all into a Monday. And coming up here again, real soon, we'll be having interviews with all the political candidates leading up to the November 5th general election. Okay, so let's thank our sponsors again. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis, Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction in Frankfort, ProByte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting. Okay, last but not least, friends, I wanted to share with you something that's good. You're going to hear more about this, and you probably heard about it over the weekend. You probably heard about it this morning on whatever news source you watch, whether it's the CBS Morning News with Gayle King or whoever, okay? ABC, CBS, whoever, or Morning Joe on MSNBC. I'm sure everybody's talking about this. This is a big, big deal. And this is something that's really going to affect us unless there is some kind of resolution, unless they come to a resolution by midnight tonight. And this could affect gas, it could affect Christmas, it could affect all kinds of things. And I'm talking about the longshoremen's strike, which will probably take place at midnight tonight. Now, the International Longshoremen's Association, which is the ILA, They're based in North Bergen, New Jersey. I have a friend who works at a radio station just outside of New Jersey and occasionally writes newspaper articles for the North Bergen Daily News. ILA represents 85,000 workers, and approximately 45,000 of those work under the Shipping Industry Group U.S. Maritime Alliance. They work under a contract, okay? So U.S. Maritime Alliance represents the major shipping lines, all of which are foreign-owned terminal operators and port authorities. That should be a big enough problem, but it's really not part of the sauce here. So the negotiations between ILA and the U.S. Maritime Alliance has been stalled for months, and they've been trying to work something out, and they've been putting Band-Aids on it over the last couple months, but it's come to a head because the contract runs out today. So a strike would effectively shut down three dozen locations at 14 port authorities along the East and the Gulf Coasts down south, causing shortages and driving up prices on a whole host of goods. And a whole host of goods, friends, is putting it lightly. So the question is, what is at the heart of the labor dispute? Union workers at ports in the East and Gulf Coasts earn a base wage of about $39 an hour after 6 years on the job. Okay? You've proven yourself, you come to work, you max out at like $39 there. Not bad for $39 an hour, right? Not bad considering no matter where you live in America. That's pretty good wage per hour. The West Coast union workers make $54.85 an hour after 6 years. So the East Coast and the Gulf Coast workers, they want something a little closer to $54.85 an hour. The International Longshoremen's Association is demanding a 77% pay rate increase over 6 years and more restrictions that bans automation so they can keep their job security. They want less cranes, gates, and container movements used in the loading or unloading of cargo. I kind of see what they're saying. That's job security. But that's asking an awful lot from the group that's trying to make money and be in the money-making business. Now, let's not kid ourselves. The group that runs and owns these ports, they're making money hand over fist. A 77% pay raise increase over 6 years, that gives you an idea of how far apart these two groups are and how this will not be resolved by midnight tonight. So the Maritime Authority responded actually late last week trying to prevent this strike. They responded with an offer of 40% in wage increases, okay? But the union rejected it, calling it a joke. They didn't even talk to their people about it. They called it a joke. And again, that should show you just how far apart these two groups are on this. And this is going to be a major problem for America. So what products would be impacted by a port strike? Well, let's just say that it's been almost 50 years since these workers went on strike. And back then, things were a lot different. The effect that you see on a daily basis, it would take a little longer back then. We're talking 50 years ago. Things moved at a slower pace. Things don't move at a slow pace now when it comes to bringing in cars from other countries and all these other things. So what products impacted by a port strike? A port strike would probably impact vehicle imports first, like auto parts, machinery, fabricated steel, precision instruments, like all the little things that go inside your car and stuff, and computers. The Port of Baltimore, Maryland leads the nation in car shipments. That means from all over the world, China, wherever, where they're making cars, they come through the Port of Baltimore, Maryland, leading the nation in car shipments. Not all of them, but leading the nation, most of them. Now, agricultural impacts such as the imports of bananas and fruits or exports of soybeans and soybean meal would be felt immediately And even more significant impacts will be felt on like the chilled or frozen meat products, along with eggs, which require refrigerated containers that can't sit for very long. You see where I'm going with this? Any fruit, they say, that arrives after October 1st will be condemned to the trash can. To give you an idea of how quick they have to keep things moving and how they have to keep those refrigerated containers going all the time. Pete Kopke of Port Washington-based importer Kopke Fruit told the Orange County Register that all of the people who have invested in that business will lose, quote, a fortune. So you've also got knitted and non-knitted apparel, which is clothing from other countries, which is where a lot of it comes from, furniture, plywood, pharmaceutical products, and year-end holiday items, among the endless list of products impacted by the strike. Now, think about it. We go into Dollar General right now, and we see, yeah, you'll see half a Halloween aisle there, right? But they've already got some Christmas stuff out, don't they? Yeah. It comes out earlier each year. Walmart's already got a whole area dedicated to Christmas. And they plan on replenishing that over the next couple months leading up to Christmas. Well, guess what? If there's a strike, they're not going to get near as much replenishment there. And we're talking about things that they work months out on this, 2, 3, 4 months sometimes, on their items and how they get them shipped and when and where. And it's a very precise industry, friends. Officials estimate that it could take anywhere from 4 to 6 days to clear a backlog from just a one-day strike. So I'm not good at math, but do the math on that if it lasts a month or even 2 weeks. I'll read it again. Officials estimate that it could take anywhere from 4 to 6 days to clear backlog from just a one-day strike, and weeks or more if the strike stretches 1 week or if it goes even a month. So we've got some real issues, and this is something that kind of popped up pretty quick. And shame on our government and our leaders for not stepping in and trying to do something to avoid this. Right now, we've got one of the weakest presidents in the history of America. And I guess President Biden, I read something, he talked to a couple of the organizers on Friday, but they weren't having none of it. Nobody respects the Biden administration. They can't go in there and walk softly and carry a big stick. They can't talk softly and carry a big stick. They can barely talk. So nobody respects that. And the Biden administration doesn't have the brains to figure out something to actually get this done, get a deal in place, make some kind of plan, whatever it is. I don't have the brains either, friends. This is why we elect people to keep our country running. And it's just going to go by the wayside. And it's going to be just another thing that is going to add to already high grocery prices and high everything. All the money we're paying, all the extra money we're paying that we've had to pay over the last 4 years, and don't tell me inflation is bottomed out and it's correcting itself. Don't tell me that. I don't believe that. I know what some of you liberals are saying, and some of you are actually right. You're actually right on the feds and the interest rates and stuff, but that doesn't affect us. Very rarely does that affect us. We're talking real things. One other thing that has nothing to do with this, talking about how weak our government is right now, is you see what all Israel has been doing over the last month or so with killing off all the leaders of Hezbollah in Lebanon. They have had the exploding pagers and radios. They pinpoint where these leaders are, and they send a drone or a ballistic missile to blow it up, and they don't care if there's civilians in the way. They're just getting the job done. This is little bitty, teeny, tiny Israel. Israel looks like it has a set of balls the size of church bells, because they do. But you know what's most disturbing is the United States is a day late and many dollars short because we don't see any of this coming. You know why? Because Israel doesn't trust us. And why should they? You've got half the Democrats, half of America, who's taken the side of the Palestinians. And Israel's like, hey, we're just going to go out and take care of our own business. And they've been doing that. And I'm here to tell you, friends, we're looking at something major in the Middle East here coming up real soon, because Israel has drawn a line in the sand and crossed it. And Hezbollah has reached a point where they're going to have to do something just to save face. And we hear the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, for America come out and say, well, we weren't aware of Israel retaliating like this and continuing to have a stronghold trying to get into Lebanon. Of course you don't, because nobody trusts America. Nobody trusts the Biden administration to let them in on something or try to get them to come in to help and gain some help, generate some help. Instead, we've got half of America who doesn't even know what they're talking about pulling for the Palestinians, and Israel's looking at us like, wow, the United States used to be our number one ally. And so they're having to go out and do these things on their own, and Israel doesn't trust us. So they're not even telling us what they're doing. They're just going out and doing it because someone has to. And it just goes to show you the weakness and what can happen and how quickly a World War III or something crazy could happen when we don't have a strong president in place, or at least a competent president in place with people around him that the American people trust. Because this is a prime example. Don't go by what the lamestream media tells you. Don't go by what the Biden administration tells you. Go by what other countries are doing when we have specific presidents in place. You've got, of course, the Hezbollah thing that started almost a year ago, October 6th, killing all kinds of thousands of Jews in one day in Israel. I don't blame Israel for being pissed off, but that wouldn't have happened under Trump. I think there would have been something that, and if it did happen under Trump, it would have been squashed almost immediately afterwards. He would have been able to go over there and do something and figure it out. You've also got Ukraine, which is getting decimated by Russia. And yes, Ukraine has made some inroads, but it's because we're funding it. It's like the United States is already fighting Russia. And I'm surprised Putin hasn't started picking on us a little more here in America, like firing some things over here, because that would have never happened with President Trump. Look at how the world leaders treat us and look at their actions and what they do. That will tell you how they respect us or how they don't respect us. And then you have Israel doing all these things, killing all these Hezbollah leaders. And the United States, what are they trying to do? They're trying to talk about a peace treaty and spending all this time and money on Blinken being over there talking to Hezbollah leaders third hand, and Israel is just continuing to blow them up and kick their ass. Go Israel. I'm all for it. But again, look at what the foreign countries do in respect to the president and the administration we have in there right now. It's weak. And everyone knows that now is the time, because the United States is so weak in so many ways. And when you have this longshoreman strike, which will happen tonight at midnight, you would normally have a president sit down with both sides and say, hey guys, work it the hell out. Well, what's Biden going to do? Take Biden out of the equation. What's Kamala Harris going to do? What's anyone in that incompetent Biden administration going to do? Absolutely nothing, because nobody respects them. The respect is not there, just like it's not there with Hezbollah, Benjamin Netanyahu with Israel, Vladimir Putin with the USSR. None of it. Nobody respects the current administration and the chain of events that you've seen happening in the world on an international level will tell you that much, at least that. And that's just the stuff you see on the surface. Scratch the surface, it goes much deeper. It's much more concerning when it comes to the lack of respect that every country has for our incompetent Biden administration right now. And I'll wrap it up by just saying, we say it sometimes jokingly every 4 years, this is the most important presidential election we've ever had. But I'm telling you, friends, this is the most important presidential election we've ever had, because we are at a precipice right now of going over the edge where there is no coming back. There is that point, friends. There is that line we can reach. And I know you say, oh, we've been around for 200 years, a little over 200 years. America is strong. We can come through anything. No, we can't. We cannot handle four more years of socialist agendas and liberal policies and weakness and incompetentness. We can't have it. We can't afford it. America will not be recognizable in 4 years if Donald Trump is not elected. If Kamala Harris gets in the White House with Tim Walz, it is going to go downhill, and I'll tell you what, it'll go downhill fast, friends. It won't be a four-year slow progress. It's going to go downhill fast. So please keep that in mind. I know I'm not going to be able to change your mind if it's already made up. I know most of you who listen to me are conservatives, and I appreciate that. I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, but we've got to be ready, and we've got to do what we can, everything we can, even some drastic stuff leading up to the November general election. Drastic, I mean, making sure your friends are voting and voting the right way, and make sure we get all the votes for President Trump we can, because it's not just a given. Forget the polls. Forget what the lamestream media is telling you, that it's a close, tight race. Let's pretend like Kamala's beating Trump. We need to get out there. We need to be hungry for it, okay? So that'll wrap up the program for today. I know that covers a lot and gets pretty deep on a Monday, but I want to give you a lot to think about, because that's what we do here at KNS. These are just my observations as Kevin Keith, the owner, and the guy doing all the production work behind the scenes. And I'm sincerely worried for our country. And I have a platform where I can sit here and tell you why I'm sincerely worried about this country. And I have a platform where I can tell you why I'm sincerely worried about the homeless in Lafayette when they're spending $500,000 on a sculpture. So that'll wrap up the program for today. Let's thank our community-minded partners. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis, Frankfurt, Wobbler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Frankfurt, Probyte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life, Indiana, Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock for Morning Sickness, where we play the best hits of the 70s and 80s and bring you all kinds of local news as well. We got the 90s at 9 coming up next. Have a great Monday from the KNS Radio Network.